Brethren and Sisters in Nashville, Elmshaven, St. Helena, California, December 14, 1905. To my brethren and sisters in Nashville, I am instructed to say to those who profess to believe the truth as it is presented in the Word of God, that they are to take special heed to the last recorded prayer of Christ with his disciples. These words rest heavily upon my soul. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. John 17, verse 14 to 21. Christ desires to perfect this grand work of uniting his earthly followers in him, even as he is united with the Father. In such a union, his people are sanctified through the truth, for Christ is the truth. In this union, there is strength. In this union, there is a power to convince the world of truth. Christ and the Father are represented as two distinct personalities, but they are one in purpose. They are united in an effort to save fallen human beings and to restore them to union with themselves. The Lord Jesus is grieved to see among his people so much diversity in mind and purpose. When they will unite in a determination that Christ's prayer for unity shall be answered, a holier, purer atmosphere will pervade our churches. And the glory which thou hast given me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them, as thou hast loved me. Verses 22-23. The attainment of correct principles, the holiness of life received through unity with Christ, will show to the world that we place a high value upon the life of Christ as our pattern. A scene was presented before me. Christ stood as the perfection of holiness, but his professed followers were in contention. Scales were brought, and in one side was written in living characters the holy law of God. Human characters were being weighed with that law as the standard. One after another were found wanting and pronounced unworthy to have a place among the perfect ones. The words were spoken: "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." Psalm 19, verse 7, James 2, verse 10. In great anguish of spirit I awoke. Who will be found wanting when weighed in the balance by the judge of all the earth? Again I seemed to be in a solemn assembly. One of authority spoke: "The carnal mind is enmity against God." Romans 8, verse 7. The words of Christ are plain and distinct. his prayer in behalf of all those who should believe on him is that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. John 17, verse 21-23. There are many who have passed through the ordinance of baptism, but they are not transformed in character. By their misrepresentation of Christ, they have made his work difficult, and by hatred and jealousy and evil surmisings, they have tried the souls of his servants. When they are new creatures in Christ, a change will be seen in their lives. Those who have been cherishing hatred against their brethren who are trying to do the work of God need to be cleansed and purified. They may have professed godliness, but their hearts are not right with God. They have been stumbling blocks in the way of others. The love of Christ has not been revealed in the life. There has been an appearance of religion, but oh, how little have they honored and glorified Christ. Men and women in important positions of trust have been led by satanic agencies to reveal to the world manifestations of pride, selfishness, robbery, and dishonesty in various lines.
The converting power of Christ must come into all our churches. The time has now come when a decided answer must be given to the question, who is on the Lord's side? No longer is the Church of God to be a mixed multitude. Who, by thorough conversion, will answer the expectations of Christ as expressed in his prayer? This is only a portion of what I desire to say, and if the Lord gives me strength, I hope to write more soon.